Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
The church cannot continue to be Laodicean. We cannot just sit and hope that the world will right itself. It was said about the disciples that they turned the world upside down. That's what the church should be doing. Because this world is upside down the wrong way. We need to reinvert it. We need to turn it back upside right. And that's not going to happen until the church becomes the church. It is my hope, ladies and gentlemen, that the Holy Spirit would be allowed to draw the church into a place where we are awakened, a place where we are energized, a place where we are baptized, a place where we allow the Holy Ghost to produce miracles. We're drawn into that. That's my hope. But there's a good possibility that's never going to happen, that the church is going to wake up on its own. There's a better possibility that the world has to get worse. And there has to be a catastrophe so great that it shakes everybody to their core. I hope that doesn't happen. But one way or another, God's going to have a mighty church. A mighty church. I choose that that church will be born of prayer and worship and expectation rather than some dread event that happens. But one of the things we have to realize is the Bible says the armory of the Lord is open. I love that verse. It's kind of an obscure verse. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 25. The Lord hath opened his armory and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation, for this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. The Lord has opened his armory. Now, how we go about getting those weapons is up to us. If it's because of the indignation of the Lord, as I said, a tragedy that besieges this world and this country drives us to the armory of the Lord, or it simply is a hunger for the Lord. I have a hunger for the Lord and the work of God greater than I ever have. You would think that as you get my age, that that hunger would be lessened. But as I see the world in the worst condition I've ever seen it in my lifetime, I've got a hunger for the manifestation of God's church, God's power, God's Holy Spirit. And so the invitation is go to the armory of the Lord and get the weaponry of the Lord, because his weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. I'm convinced that most of the Christian church no longer believes in the supernatural intervention of God. I cling to that. I believe in that. You see, if you can't believe in the healing as a miracle for your body, it's hard to believe in the healing of the land. But God has healed my body so many times. And the supernatural power of God has intervened in my life so many times. I can believe it for a church, and I can believe it for a nation. I don't believe that God is sitting idly by, but I believe that God is working a plan, and that plan is that there are going to be millions of people come to Christ before Christ comes for his church. I believe that. The Bible said that God is not slack concerning his promise. He's not willing that any should perish. In other words, God could perform his promise of catching his church out now, but he's not slack concerning that promise. He's got a plan. And there are a lot of people perishing. And so God's got a plan that many more people are going to be saved before he comes. But it's not going to happen to a church that is like Laodicea. It's going to come to a church that is mighty in power. And so God invites us, instructs us, that we would pick up the weapons of the Spirit. Remember, I've said every weapon of God. And every gift of God is a spiritual gift, a spiritual weapon. It's not carnal. And so when we do these things, we realize that they are supernatural. The world does not understand that. God invites the world to universal praise. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That is a divine invitation to everyone. But that is not what he's speaking of when he's speaking of weaponizing our worship. God wants us to worship, to weaponize our worship. This is not available to everyone, but it's available to everyone that is filled with his Spirit. You cannot weaponize your worship if you have not been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. When you sing a song and you're not filled with God's Spirit, it's a weapon, but it's a carnal weapon. Doesn't mean it's bad, but it's just not a supernatural weapon. But when you sing a song and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that song can become a weaponized weapon. It can become a supernatural weapon. That song can literally cause people to turn their lives around. That song can drive devils out. That song can bring in angels. That's what it means by weaponizing your worship. And so when we weaponize our worship, it gives us spiritual status. We cut the line. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you learn what it is to weaponize your worship, that's put you to the head of the line. Have you ever noticed as you study the Bible, you study the ministry of Christ, there was always somebody cutting the line? The woman with the issue of blood, she was not first, she was last. But she worked her way until she was at the front of the line and touched the hem of his garment. When you talk about the man that had palsy, he was at the back of the line. He couldn't get near the house, the Bible said, where Jesus was. But they worked their way up to the roof and tore the roof off, and now they're at the front of the line. Weaponized worship allows you to cut the line. Pastor Brandon was telling me he took his family to Disney World last year, and he said they got a deal now. I didn't like to go to Disneyland. We took the kids. I didn't like it. And the reason I didn't like Disney, I like Mickey Mouse. He's real cool. And Benny, she's cool. They're all cool. I really like Disneyland, but I didn't Disney World. I tell you what I didn't like about them was the lines. Brandon told me now that they've become so mercenary at Disney World, if you've got money, you can buy your way to the front of the line. Oh, you think money's not the root of all evil? What about them poor little kids that have been there for hours? And then somebody walks up like me, walks up and flashes a little money. I'm at the front of the line.
Sorry, kids.
That's the reason the Bible said the money is the root of all evil, is because it gets you in the front of the line at Disney World. But we're not talking about money. We're talking about weaponizing your worship. There's a lot of people that need help from God, but they're not filled with God's Spirit. They're not getting anything from God. And they're not likely to. People are just shocked when I tell you that the Bible said that God does not necessarily answer the prayer of a sinner. The Bible says that. Well, I don't like that verse. Well, you can't take it out. It's there. And so when you are filled with God's Spirit, God enables you to pick up the weaponry of the Lord and get things that other people can't get. See things that other people can't see, hear things that other people can't hear, and one of those is worship. It puts me to the front of the line. When you read the story about the woman that came to Jesus when he was in Bethany, and the disciples were all there, but this little woman, which the Bible said was a sinner, actually used that word, she was a sinner. But all of a sudden, she recognized she was a sinner. She recognized who Jesus Christ was. She came. She broke that bottle, alabaster box. She put the oil and anointed his feet, began to wipe his feet with her long hair. And the disciples said, that's good. No, they didn't. The disciples had indignation. You ever have indignation? You said, well, I had heartburn. It's not the same thing. You've had indignation whether you know it or not. They said, that's not right. But she did that because she worshiped the Lord greater than anybody else that was there. And the Bible said that Judas, he got so mad, this is where he started falling out. He said, to what purpose is this waste? She's wasted this precious oil. It could have been sold and given to the poor. And Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. She did the right thing. Ladies and gentlemen, you can weaponize your worship to where you can change everything about your life, everything about your family, everything about your church, everything in your sphere of influence. You know, so many people get concerned about the world. You're probably not going to affect the world, but you can affect your world. And that's what you're called to. You have a sphere of influence. You have an influence in your family. You have an influence in this church. You have an influence at your work. You have a world. And that world, God has sent you to affect that world. You say, well, I'm doing the best I can with carnal weapons. But if you would get spiritual weapons, remember how our weapons are? They're mighty. How? Through God. Do you understand that true worship not only goes to God, it goes through God. And when it goes through God, what happens? It's multiplied. If one can put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10. That's only when it goes through God. It's multiplied. And if you would learn to worship God the way God wants you to, He'll put you to the front of the line. You'll get things that other people never get. See things they never see. Have things they never have if you learn to worship God. You say, how do I do that? Study the Word of God about worship. The Bible has a lot to say about it. And then practice it. You say, but I'm shy. I'm a timid person. I'm embarrassed. Friend, you don't have to do this publicly. You can do this privately. If you learn to become a worshiper, it will take you out of a private place. The Bible calls it your secret place of thunder. It'll take you out of that secret place of thunder. It will make you a public defender. It will make you a public praiser. It will cause things to happen that you didn't know that they could happen. Just learning to praise God. It's an amazing thing. Praise is more difficult than you know because it deals with your attitude. And our attitude is that when things don't go the way we want to, we get an attitude. We're aggravated. Well, why didn't this work out? And I can't believe this happened again. So people say, of all the people, why did this happen to me? Why not you? If you're not a worshiper, why not you? But if you are a worshiper, you're at the front of the line. It ought to change things in your life. And when you learn to praise God, amazing things happen. If you're a true worshiper. Ladies and gentlemen, I am a true worshiper. It's amazing that I'm a true worshiper because I can't carry a tune. And we think worship is all about singing. It has much to do with singing. But even if you can't carry a tune, even if you're white to the nth degree and you have no rhythm, you still have to become a worshiper. It's not about your talent. It's about your attitude. It's about your heart. Do you really understand how great God is? Do you understand God made you in His image? Do you understand that God brought you from a mighty long way off? Do you know there's somebody much like you that's not saved, but you're saved? Do you understand there are people much like you that are going through all kinds of crises that you're not experiencing? Do you have an attitude of gratitude, an old cliche, but do you have that praise in your heart? And even when things are going bad, you're saying, but I know a God that when the devil means it for evil, the Lord will turn it to good. And so we have a real bad habit of waiting until it turns to good before we praise. But a person that's weaponized their worship will praise God before God gets a chance to turn the evil to good. While the evil is still coming, while the boss is still chewing you out, while bad things are still happening, you've already gone into your worship mode and said, I think I will worship God because I don't like the story right now. I don't like this chapter, this paragraph, this page, but I know how it's going to turn out. And so I'm going to go ahead because I've weaponized my worship. It's not just something that I do when I'm in the house of God, but I never, ever leave home without it. You say, well, you can't be like that. How many of us 30 years ago thought we would never be separated from a phone? Man, I love phones. When we first started getting cell phones, some of my pastor friends said, I told my people they can't bring a phone into the auditorium. I said, there's a losing battle, guys. I try not to get in battles. I'm not going to tell you, you can't bring a phone in this building because I know that you're going to hide them. You're going to hide them in your underwear if you have to. You're going to bring your phone in this building. So I ain't going to make rules that cannot be observed. I love phones. Before we had cell phones, I used to have a phone in my car and a phone in my truck. I mean, way, way back, 30-some, 40 years ago. And then I used to have a big bag with a phone that I carried around. I love phones. But how many people never ever thought you would never be separated from your phone? I got a phone right now in my pocket. I got it off, but I just don't want to leave it in the office. Say, well, you can't answer it. It's not going to ring. Yeah, but I got it. I know I got it. I sleep with my phone right here. If you call me in the middle of the night, I'll answer my phone. I answer in the middle, and Becky will say, can you go in the other room and talk on the phone? Because it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm having a long conversation with somebody. She said, I need to get my rest. I got to get up here after a while. But I got to talk on the phone. I love phones. I'm addicted to phones. I love communication. Good things happen on a phone. I get good news on the phone. But friend, I'll tell you something better than that. I never leave without my worship. Some of you, I go around this church and I check this building all the time and I see you left your worship by. I say, oh, there's Sister So-and-so's worship. He left it by the door. She won't use it until she comes back next Sunday. And there's Brother So-and-so's praise. He'll pick it up next Wednesday night. Oh, not me. You can search this building. My praise ain't here. I got my praise with me. I don't leave home without it. I never know when the devil's going to come in like a flood, and I need to hit him in the face with a thank you, Jesus. I need to slap him upside the head with a hallelujah. I need to quote him a scripture and say, oh, praise God, it's going to turn out good. What the devil has meant for evil is going to be the biggest blessing I've ever received in my life. Praise is a worship. I'm going to tell you what, if this white boy that can't sing and has no rhythm can have a praise that is weaponized, there is not a human being in this building that cannot weaponize the praise and the worship in your life. And the Bible said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. There is no greater resister than worship. Because you know what worship is? It is extolling God. It's worshiping God. It's bragging on God. The Bible said, acknowledge every good thing in you in Christ Jesus. I was at the Sam's up here. And a pastor saw me there. And he's got a little building, real small here in town. And he said, how big is that first building you built over there? He said, mine's about the same, isn't it? His building's about a 20th as big as that building over there. I said, I think that one might be a little bigger. He said, no, they're the same size. How wide is it? I said, it's 210 feet wide. Oh, he said, that building's not 210. I said, get you a tape measure. Go over and measure it. I built a thing. It's 210 feet wide. Well, it sure don't. I thought my building. He said, how's Brother So-and-so doing over here? He said, I heard he's losing everything. He said, I heard his crowd's really small. I said, you know, I was just over there on a Sunday afternoon, and I said, he asked me to come by and be with him. And I said, that building was wall to wall with people. I heard he'd lost everyone. I said, no, he's full. He said, what about so-and-so? I said, you know, I was just had dinner with him the other day, and he said his church is doing better than it's ever done. He named four churches, and every one of them was terrible. And every time I gave him a good report, he was moving farther and farther. He said, I got to go. You want to resist the devil. You start bragging on God, God's people, and God's work, and the devil won't be within a mile of you. It literally becomes a weapon. When the devil comes against me, thank you. What a good God. Oh, I remember, God, the time you healed me. God, I remember the time when I was broke. I remember, God, when I had $7 to my name and I gave it to that man in California and I drove 200 miles and a man gave me $700. I remember that, Lord. I know it's been 50 years ago, but I still remember, and I just want to praise you, Lord. I remember when the doctor said, you got sugar diabetes, and she said, I will live to see some of your limbs cut off. And I remember changing doctors and going to a new doctor and praying, and the doctor said, you don't even have sugar diabetes. He said, you're borderline, but you can defeat it, praise God. And I've defeated it all these years. I just want to praise God. You see, my weapon, my worship is not something to entertain you. My worship is not something to prove to you I'm saved. You know, you get down here, see somebody worshiping God. Say, you know what? I better worship God, because if I don't worship God, they might think I'm backslidden. I want to worship God. Oh, hallelujah.
Are they watching me?
Do they know I'm still saved? That's not the reason why we worship. The reason why we worship is we know who God is, and we know how great God is, and we know our weapon is a worship. We know that cancer hates worship. We know that leukemia hates worship. Praise God. We know that sickness hates worship. We know that poverty hates worship. And when we begin to worship God, it changes everything. It changes everything. It changes everything. It changes everything. In all the church growth manuals I study, they say don't have altar calls in your church. It limits your growth. And don't have worship that's extreme, because it offends people. It will limit your growth, but it'll just have to limit. Because as long as I'm in a pulpit, I'm going to give altar calls. And I'm going to solicit people to worship the Lord. Weaponize your worship. Weaponize your worship. And there will always be religious people that say, Jesus, tell your followers to not do this. They were crazy while worshiping him, throwing their clothes down. And he was walking on their clothes. And the religious people saying, tell them not to worship like that. That's extreme. That's embarrassing. Friend, I'll tell you what's embarrassing is the way they're going to act at football games today. And praise God, I like to watch that football game. But I am not going to worship football or basketball more than I worship my God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Can I say this? You heard it before, but I want you to hear it again, and I'm through. I heard a Methodist preacher say, he had a church, and he said they didn't have any worship. It was just very quiet, and they wanted it that way. And he said, my son was a high school quarterback. And he said, I went to watch him play. He said, my son was good. He said, he threw a bomb into the end zone and said the crowd went wild. He's my son. And he said, here I am, a Methodist preacher. He said, I was standing up on top of the bleacher. Yeah! I was shouting my son's name. And he said, in the midst of that, the Holy Ghost, he said, God said, why would you act like that about your son, but you won't act like that about my son? God don't care if you love the Cowboys and you want to go crazy, or if you hate the Cowboys and you want to root San Francisco. He don't care. Get as wild as you want, but bring that same thing to him. that same thing even more so. Say, Lord, I'm going to worship you in the good times and in the bad. I'm going to worship you when I get a good report or a bad report. I'm going to worship you when I get blessed and when I ain't got no money. I'm still going to worship you, Lord, because worship is a weapon. And ladies and gentlemen, I've got 500 stories I can tell you about my life where I worshiped my way through. When it was terrible, when hell came against me, and all I could do was just worship God and watch God turn around. And there's somebody in this building right now.